Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today with me is Michael Gamblin, my executive producer and the love of my life. And we're going to talk about a topic that is dear to my heart, and that is drama. It's dear to my heart because I love to do it. As a child, I love doing it. And as an adult, I love watching kids do it. I love them acting out. At the same time, I was brought up in a pretty conservative family where you didn't go to theaters, you didn't watch TV, and drama was very seldom done in any way, shape, or form.
In case you haven't figured out, she's not talking about the drama between people. This is play acting, so this is performances, that kind of drama, right?
That's right. And the other is drama, too, which we have enough of that in our lives. So I thought, let's just talk about the plays and the presentations that we do and why it is important. So I'm going to ask you, Michael, how you became involved in school-produced dramas. Let's just stick with school-age-produced dramas. We're not going to Sight and Sound. We're not doing professional productions, but we're doing productions with young children. So how did you get involved in that?
Very simply, I married a teacher.
Yeah, so if you marry a teacher, with that comes any gifts that you can bring to the table, which in your case has been quite a few, because I know in my experience, if I went to a new school, I would say to my husband, let's not do all the bells and whistles that we've been doing. Let's just
I can't do not all the bells and whistles. That's a problem.
Yeah, let's just have a variety of music and maybe some poems or readings, and that would be it.
Okay. I started out as a photographer, so I was used to doing backdrops and staging and, you know, that kind of stuff. So when we got married and everything, and you said, well, let's do something. Well, here goes that creative ability from the photographer to start setting up a stage for your productions.
Yeah, and the first time that he had me help with doing one of his backdrops, it was just, we just took spray paint and we just colored red, white, and blue, you know, randomly over this huge piece of canvas.
It was 10 foot by 30, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, so that, it was like what you would get for putting on the back of quilts. So it wasn't as heavy as canvas. And then I went to a school and we were going to put a Christmas program on, but you could not tape anything to the walls. You could not even lay cardboard against their walls. They were newly painted. And that's when he came up with the idea that, you know, Rose, could you just paint a backdrop?
Now, this is it's called muslin. There's two different colors. There's a real white, and then there's a beige. I use the only white because it takes paint better and everything. And this is where having a creative wife or teacher has been quite beneficial. She's an artist in her own right. So I stretched this canvas out, this muslin out, weighted it down the corners, and she proceeded to paint. Now, with paint, you have to use thin coats. You can't be heavy. Not brushes, but you're spray painting it. And she began to make this abstract silhouette of the Bethlehem scene and Jerusalem in the background. Came out awesome.
Yeah, what we did is we took poster paper and made it essentially a stencil. And just, you know, looking at the horizon, if you notice the horizon when the sun is coming up or the sun is setting, is quite light in the backdrop, in the background. So it was just really me, myself, and I at the time, Bray painted that on first. So you had kind of the yellow going up into the pink and blues. And then from there, we put a reverse stencil of the shape of Bethlehem on the horizon.
If you've ever watched any painting programs, they always say start the farthest back first and then work forward.
Yeah.
So that you want to keep that in mind as you're doing these things. It's easier to paint a foreground after you've painted the background, but you can't paint the background after you've painted the foreground. So you've got to work in the back and come forward in your painting.
And it is amazing how these backdrops roll up and we keep them in a...
just a pillowcase.
Yeah, just in a pillowcase. So we roll it up. When we unroll it, it's kind of has still the tie-dye effect. Very abstract, nothing too spectacular. I always never finish. You know, I always think, oh, I need to do this or I need to do that. But that being said, we still have used this a number of years with it not being totally perfected as I would like to perfect it. I would still like to put the little lights in some of the windows of Bethlehem, and I'd still like to paint the silhouette of the three wise men coming across the scene, as small as it would be and probably unnoticed. So don't let your perfectionism stop you. That probably is one of the most life lessons I've learned, is don't let your perfectionism stop you from at least presenting what you were able to get done in the amount of time. So your backdrops, as much as I used to think they weren't important, they are part of the story. So they kind of set the feeling when you walk into the sanctuary and you see this. How high is it?
Well, the backdrop you're referring to is 10 foot tall and 30 feet long.
So it spans the
whole stage.
And then apart from that, there is the shepherd scene, which is very simple, just a night sky.
Well, let me, if I may finish with this one. You have to have some way of supporting that. If they won't let you put some hooks on the walls or something. And if you check with your photography stores and stuff, they have what they call backdrop stands. And then you can get bars that you can put across there. Believe it or not, I had some old tents that the bars snapped together. I saved the bars, and that's what I use across the top. Now, what we did is we took the top long edge of the backdrop, rolled it over, and sewed a hem in it. So we had a channel there. Put this thing through, and then we can put this on top of our backdrop stand. So that's how we supported the thing. And you have to have something that goes up at least 10 feet tall that you can use. Or you can make it out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
You can very easily make it out of wood. It's a little more trouble, and it's not as portable. But
yes, and it is very nice to have something that you can put up and take down relatively easily. I mean, it just takes... the two of us even have done it.
Oh, yes.
It's nice if we have
times.
Three, but two of us just pop it up and take it back down. And occasionally we've had to take it down to make room for the overhead screen. You know, if you haven't really communicated well with everybody in the church, if they have a special PowerPoint, then it's easy to lower it so that the screen for the PowerPoint for other programs can be seen.
That's if you have backdrop stands. If it was made out of wood, it's not as easy.
That's the benefit of having these tripods. And in addition to that, you know, another scene added to that, for example, with Christmas, you could add the shepherd scene. And then also we had the heavenly scene, the scene where the oracles spoke about the story. All of this we need to provide for anybody who would like to do it, because the plays are very organic. They're things that I've written based on multi-age. So the angel scene was this very simple scene that very young children could learn. And then the shepherd scene was for like the older third, fourth, fifth graders. And then the oracles were big passages out of the Desire of Ages. And that was
for older
children.
That's the question I would like to ask you there. I think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. How did you come up with the story that you wanted to tell in this drama that you're doing? Before you even planned your backdrops, how did you come up with your script for the kids to do this?
Well, as I set the stage, For the show, I came from a very conservative background, and so I'm not going to do any drama that I don't see having a lifelong benefit for the children who are learning these parts, spending a lot of time learning these parts. And what greater story to act out than the story of Jesus' birth and the story of Jesus' resurrection? Now, I've spent a lot of brain cells on cute little puppet scripts and things like that, but these two scripts have been refined through the fire of experimenting, and I will tell you the rest of it. We have to take a break, but I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we come back. Thank you for staying with us. We're talking about why do plays and productions with young children. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why does God allow bad things to happen to people you love?
After all, He's the creator of the universe. He could have stopped it, right? Then we remember Calvary. In our mind's eye, we see Jesus, God's own Son, dying in agony on a Roman cross. Wait a minute, we gasp. Why doesn't He stop that from happening? Doesn't He love Jesus? Listen, the sinless man on the cross is speaking, his words recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. With his last breath, he whispers, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Here was someone who had every reason to be angry at God, to blame Him for the suffering he had to endure. But even at the moment of death, Jesus spoke His Father's name with reverence and love, handing over His spirit, or breath, willingly. Why? Jesus knew what caused suffering and pain. He understood its source. And it wasn't His Father. It was sin. Don't think of the bad things that happen as allowed by God. Rather, think of them as terrible results of the sinful condition that exists in this world. Blame Satan. Trust God. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. We're talking about plays and productions with young children, and we have had quite a bit of experience with how to put it all together and working with it from the very moment of what play you're going to do until you actually do it really makes you think. You know, we've done a lot of thought. How can we portray this story the best that we can in the space that we're in? We've worked in many different spaces, and we have come up with these very portable backdrops made with this cloth that my husband, I mean, if you don't have a husband who will go with you to a fabric store, then I'm sorry. But my husband and I will go together to a fabric store, and that will be a really fun date for us.
Well, where would you find the Jesus' birth? And do you like the Bible? You like Desire of Ages? Where did you come up with your materials for the script that you're writing?
All of my oracle parts are from the Desire of Ages, word for word. Then in this story where they're acting it out, that's a lot of scripture is quoted. You know, for unto you a child shall, you know, be given. And then in the songs, I like just your basic songs that everyone knows.
Now, I would say from experience here, don't get too elaborate with your orchestra music and your syncope, all these different arrangements you can find. Stick with what the kids can understand and can learn.
Yes. And there's sometimes when you just don't have enough time for the children to really learn it. So putting a song in that the congregation can sing.
Yes.
It becomes then a very interactive program. So now, I mean, that discovery has been so successful that now we call our production or our play an interactive play where the congregation is just as involved as we are.
It motivates the student as well when the audience is participating too. So I think it sort of feeds them too, and they do quite well with that, I think.
Yeah, and the whole purpose, I mean, you know that there's some great preachers, and I love listening to a good sermon. But the whole purpose of a drama is helping a young child really visualize themselves in a better understanding of Jesus.
That is true.
So when you are learning this story about Jesus, I had students, we just finished a program called Amazing Grace. And I had students that never knew that Judas was the betrayer. They wanted to do the part of Judas because they could see there were a few lines there. And so they, you know, I try to let the kids have as much ownership as possible. It's pretty stressful. And as the young man, he's an eighth grader, discovered that he had Judas' part, and then there was a Judas song, and I'm thinking, is he going to sing his solo verse, which is From His Ivory Palace?
Yes, he did. He did a good job, too, by the way. Well, maybe we'll put some of this stuff up on the Homeschool Companion website and so people can see some of this stuff that we're talking about.
Yes.
Now,
but I can tell you the words. From his ivory palace he came to such as I, but I scorned his love for me, sold him for the silver of things that I regret, sorrow, pain, and agony. And as he sang that and the actual program in this sad young voice with these sad eyes because he was really scared, but it came across so cool that, yeah, there was someone who really had regrets because they denied Jesus.
So how'd you come up with the idea of putting oracles in this this story? And how'd you come up with the background that you wanted for the oracles? And we'll explain the shepherd scene in a little bit too now, but yeah. The oracles, how did you come up with that?
Well, the oracles is what I call my basic court scene, and you came up with it.
Well, I came up with the design after you come up with the idea, so yes.
Yeah, so he has these wonderful columns that he drapes in ivy, and I don't know how you put it all together because they never fall down on the kids.
Well, I have stands for them. Now, there's posts that goes up the middle of them. Now, the columns themselves, you can go buy the big wooden ones or the expensive ones. I just went to some hardware store, and they have cardboard columns that you use to pour concrete in. A lot of them come in 4-foot heights, and then you get two sections and make it. Put some cleats in the middle of it to hold them together, and you can make them any height you want, you know. And styrofoam. I used some 2-inch styrofoam, cut a top plate for the columns, and then cut an arch that went across. So here, this arch The whole thing stands up probably 8 feet tall and by 8 feet wide. So it gives them enough room for it to act. Now, there's two ways you can do the background behind it. You can just do a simple drop behind it. I actually built a room behind it out of PVC piping and then draped it and such. But I think I'm going to change that because we did something here just the other day for the Easter play. And I like just the single drop and leaving it open on the top. So you can come up with several different ways of doing the oracles. Now, the shepherd's scene that she was referring to, I just had some blue fabric from a fabric store, sewed it together, and you've seen Christmas lights that are weaved together in a square, multiple lives, so you can make your own. I had a piece of some PVC, I built a frame, hung it from that, and hung the lights on there, and they shone through this fabric, so it looked like stars coming through the thing. And I had a big tub. I covered it with a piece of cloth, and that was the rock that the shepherds were sleeping on, or they were at a campfire. Well, maybe I can put a lot of this stuff up on the
yes.
face.
And, you know, I'm happy to share the scripts. The scripts are very versatile in the fact that I've used them with broad ranges of ages. So you can have even adults acting, and you can have children acting. There's enough in there that it could easily be for a large group, because I originally wrote these for 65 students. Right now, we are doing them with 9 students with multiple costume changes.
Oh.
And, you know, we might just, you know, I was thinking maybe we just need to do another show because we haven't gotten into the costuming.
No, we haven't. We should do another show on this because we're coming close to the end of this time. But the staging and everything is not, it's not hard to do. You just have to be creative and come up with ideas that work for you. Each stage is different. Each stage changes a little bit. Then, like I say, we haven't even got to the costuming yet.
But yes, and you need to understand that whether you're working with a youth group at church, whether you're working with an after-school program or a VBS program, having children act out these stories helps them eternalize them for eternity. And that's why we do it. That's why we spend time and energy even thinking about it. Otherwise, there would be no reason. But these have eternal lessons in them that will help them through life.
And you have to see the kids once they get done. They're just beaming with excitement.
Yes.
And the fact that they were able to pull this off and everything. And yes. You don't want to say they're proud, but they are proud of themselves to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them can be a lot of lines to memorize, too.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they forget the lines, no big deal.
That's right.
She acts as the director up there, and she's mouthing the words to them and everything
mm-hmm.
to help them remind them. And they will recall their lines and everything.
Yeah, usually just mouthing one word is enough to get them going. Well, we have to say goodbye, but I hope you've enjoyed this time talking about why have plays and dramas in church or in school or in your home. And we have one last thing to say, and that is
God bless. You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.